91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today, Matt Cooper tells us about the Taste of the Caribbean, the popular culinary and culture showcase in Miami. The 14th annual Hukilau brings a Polynesian celebration to Pier 66 in Fort Lauderdale next week. Christy Angeles highlights the exotica, jazz, surf, and rockabilly bands, and the Tiki Tower Takeover. Jazz drummer Duffy Jackson swings at Arts Garage in mid-June. We'll find out more. Chef Norman Van Aken and our Florida Keys calendar wrap up the show. So please stay with us to catch the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News.
Ed Bell's South Florida Arts Beat, which airs each Friday at 1 p.m., is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. on WLRN Extra HD, now with more power and better coverage in South Florida. Listen on your HD radio at 91.3-2 or live online at WLRN.org.
You're listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program today, contributor Christy Angeles previews the annual celebration of Polynesian culture and so much more, the Hukilau, coming to Fort Lauderdale next week. We'll speak with jazz drummer Duffy Jackson, who will swing the Arts Garage on the 20th and 21st. Chef Norman Van Aken presents A Word on Food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. The culinary extravaganza, known as the Taste of the Caribbean, takes place in downtown Miami at the Hyatt Regency starting next Friday, June 12th. This popular culinary and cultural showcase will present sumptuous gourmet meals and delicious creative cocktails at competitions open to the public, culminating in a taste-a-thon called Taste of the Islands in a grand ballroom with live music, cooking demos and tastings, as well as Caribbean island booths coordinated by the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association. And we want to welcome to South Florida Arts Beat Mr. Matt Cooper, Chief Marketing Officer of the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association. Matt, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Ed. Great to be here.
Tell me how the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association produces this each and every year. It's a pretty big thing throughout the Caribbean, right?
It is. It's an event that really the Caribbean Hotel Association started in the 70s as a recipe competition among friendly competitive island chefs, and a thing called the Caribbean Culinary Federation that was formed a bit later really created the competition among islands. So this year we'll feature 10 culinary teams, 10 national teams from different islands: Bahamas, Barbados, Bonaire, British Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands, Anguilla, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Suriname, and St. Lucia. And they will come up to Miami the weekend of June 12th to compete to see who are the tops in the region.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Is this something the involved islands are working on all year long? I mean, is it a big social thing?
It's really a matter of huge national pride on each island. So, yes, it does start way before June for a lot of these competitors, as each island team is formed typically by the national or led by the National Hotel Associations, who are members of our Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association. And they'll create culinary contests for food and beverage professionals in the Caribbean to compete. So they'll come together and have their own competitions to recruit the chef on their culinary team, pastry chef. There's a junior chef, and there's a bartender as well that represents each of the competing islands. So yeah, they get together and they compete to see who's going to represent the island here at their regional showdown here in June.
So Friday, June 12th is the big competition. We'll speak about the lunch and the dinner. And then Saturday, June 13th, the showcase, the Taste of the Islands competition. Now, some people, I feel, might not fully know about the cuisine of the Caribbean. I myself, one of those. I'm thinking conch salad, and I don't think much past that. But I know Jamaica, for instance, has ackee and its own special dishes and whatnot. Talk about some of the distinct dishes from the countries that will be represented.
There's really an amazing story in talking about Caribbean food and Caribbean cuisine, and it's really testament to its history and to the diversity of cultures that have landed in the region over the years because of migration, immigration, conquest, and all the like, and the mix of all the folks that came from other places with their indigenous people that were already on these islands. So there's a diverse representation of cuisine, as diverse as the nationalities are represented in the region, mm-hmm. you know, starting with four languages, right? So we've got English, French, Spanish, and Dutch all represented in the region. And then there's the influence of course, there's African influence. There's a ton of European influence on the Dutch islands. Of course, you see Dutch influence, but not only Dutch influence, but their influence from the colonies that they had elsewhere in other parts of the world. Mm. So some of the greatest Indonesian cuisine, for instance, on this side of the world, you can find in Curacao and Aruba because they're Dutch and it's what they brought. Indian food, same. There's a tremendous Chinese representation scattered throughout the islands as well. So mm-hmm. there's Chinese Jamaican food. There's a huge representation of Asian cultures, not just Chinese, in Trinidad and Tobago and other places. There's just so much diversity represented. But at the same time, there are ties that bind. So there's a huge variety of root vegetables, for instance, all over the Caribbean, named different things in different places. So yuca in Cuba and Puerto Rico is cassava. It's the same plant, right? And so many other vegetables like that, root vegetables that are represented all over the place, not to mention the tropical fruits and the wildlife that's there. So obviously a ton of seafood, as you touched on, with conch, very popular in the Bahamas, and by virtue of the Bahamians coming to Florida, now very popular in Florida. It's just an amazing, really, dichotomy of food. You have to come out and check it out.
Well, you'll give us that opportunity on Saturday, June 13th, for the showcase, the Taste of the Islands, part of Taste of the Caribbean. But let's back up. Friday, June 12th, the competition.
That's right. We'll split our 10 teams up into two. And we will have a competition lunch that will be prepared by the teams from the Bahamas, Barbados, Bonaire, British Virgin Islands, and U.S. Virgin Islands. And the dinner will be prepared by the other five teams, Anguilla, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Suriname, and St. Lucia. And each of these lunches and dinners are ticketed events and a great deal, especially considering that we're serving up a three-course meal at each, the lunch and the dinner.
So the lunch is 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. and dinner 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. That is Friday, June 12th at the
Hyatt Regency downtown Miami.
Now we move on to the next day, Saturday, June 13th, the Taste of the Islands during Taste of the Caribbean. That's the showcase.
That's right. So we'll have our 10 national culinary teams and then some showcasing tapas-style portions for the public. And that's completely open to the public, another ticketed event, another great deal considering how much food is being offered and the variety of the cuisine that'll be down there. And you can't really speak about Caribbean cuisine without sampling the rum. So we will have some especially smaller rum makers represented there as well. So it should be a great party. We'll have entertainment from several different islands. The tourist boards on each island, not only from the competing teams, but elsewhere in the Caribbean, have been invited to add to the entertainment as well. So it should be quite an interactive event and representative of the variety of cultures that we have in our fold.
Marvelous. Live music. I understand cooking demos too, Matt.
Absolutely. Well, throughout the weekend, we have competitions going on. So there will be a pastry chef competition. There is a bartender competition. The bartenders have four different varieties. So there's a rum competition, a vodka competition, a non-alcoholic drink competition, and then the final. So there are several competitions going on throughout the weekend, and folks can come out and see that as well.
I understand there'll be booths from the various islands offering information about their specific homes. And I also understand there'll be five main awards for the chefs.
That's right. We will have a Caribbean national team awarded, so kings and queens of the region. the Caribbean Chef of the Year as well. So the head chef, pastry chef of the year, the Caribbean Bartender of the Year, and we have a junior chef competition as well.
Well, this is so South Florida, if I may, and how magnificent that you all have helped to bring it here to the Hyatt Regency Miami on the river in downtown Miami. More information at CHTA, as in Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association, tasteofthecaribbean.com, CHTA, tasteofthecaribbean.com.
You can also find ticket information and other information on the event on Eventbrite. And on our social handles, CHTA Taste of the Caribbean on Facebook, and on Twitter, CHTA Taste Carib, C-A-R-I-B.
Wonderful. Well, good luck on this year's Taste of the Caribbean. Matt Cooper, he is the Chief Marketing Officer of the Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association. Sounds like quite a delicious and wonderfully educational affair, sir.
Well, thanks so much for having us on, Ed. We really appreciate the support. We look forward to seeing you on June 12th and 13th.
Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, South Florida's jazz drumming legend, Duffy Jackson, returns home for a jazz workshop in Palm Beach and several dates at Arts Garage in Delray Beach. We'll find out more details. Chef Norman Van Aken preps a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Now, contributor Chris DeAngelis previews next week's 14th annual Huki Lau, a celebration of Polynesian culture, and so much more.
Oh, we're going to a Huki Lau. Huki, 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 huki Lau. Everybody loves the Huki Lau. Where the Lau Lau is the Kauka with the big Luau. Oh, we throw our nets out into the sea, and only Amma Amma comes swimming to me. Oh, we're going to a Huki Lau. Huki, 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 huki Lau.
Next week, South Florida will play host to the largest and most well-known Hawaiian-themed party in the continental U.S., the Huki Lau. The Huki Lau is a five-day-long celebration of Pacific Island culture, mid-century modern style, live music, and inspired bartending. It's going to run from Wednesday, June 10th through Sunday, June 14th. There will be art shows, bartending seminars, craftsmen and vendors, lectures, mermaids, burlesque dancers, film screenings, yacht cruises, and performances by some of the finest sounding bands from across the country. Most of the action will take place at the Hyatt Regency Pier 66 Hotel on Fort Lauderdale Beach, although Saturday night's main event takes place at the fabulous Mai Kai restaurant. First opened in 1956 and still going strong, the Mai Kai is one of the last of the original large-scale tiki-themed showplaces still in existence. The Mai Kai is the magnet that has drawn exotica aficionados and lovers of tropical drinks with little umbrellas in them down to Fort Lauderdale year after year. We spoke about the 14th annual Huki Lau and all things tiki with event organizer and renowned tiki expert Tiki Kaliki, who also occasionally goes by the name of Christy White. Tiki Kaliki, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Oh, thank you. Mahalo.
The Huki Lau has become such a great annual tradition here in South Florida. What are some of the highlights we can expect this year?
I would say some of the highlights that people are definitely anticipating are, first, probably the Tiki Tower takeover which is going to be a two-hour happy hour that will take place at the top floor of Pier 66. And it's not only the top floor of Pier 66, but it's the rotating cocktail lounge that was added on the very top floor in 1965. And not many people, you know, have really seen that space, but we're going to take it over with four of Tiki's top bartenders from all over the country. We've got Martin Kate from Smuggler's Cove in San Francisco. We've got Jeff Berry from Latitude 29 in New Orleans. We have Paul McGee from Lost Lake, and that's in Chicago. And we have Brian Miller from Tiki Mondays with Miller from New York City. And they're all going to be there. They're going to man their own bars. They're going to be serving over 200 cocktails, just as if you were in front of their bar in any one of those cities. That's exactly how it'll be presented. And while you're standing there enjoying your cocktail, you're spinning around. So it's just a slight spin, but, you know, after four cocktails, they might feel it a little bit more than they did when they walked in.
So you'll have a rotating view of all of Fort Lauderdale, Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Yeah. For those of us that don't know a lot about that tower, you know, it was built by Phillips 66. It has 66 points surrounding it, and it takes a full spin so you can see the beautiful Fort Lauderdale skyline and the beach and the ocean and so forth and intercoastal every 66 minutes. I was telling people every 66 seconds, and they got a little confused there.
Well, that sounds like something not to be missed. The Hukila always has such great live music. Who have we got coming this year?
We have several people that have been to Hukila before that are mainstays and that everyone loves. We have the Intoxicators, which is a surf band. We have the Disasternauts, which are gorillas dressed up like spacesuits. Who doesn't want to see that? We also have the East Coast debut of an amazing group, the Alika Lyman Group. And Alika Lyman is actually flying in from Hawaii. He's never played on the East Coast. And just to let everybody know who he is and why we're so excited about him coming is his great uncle was Arthur Lyman. And Arthur Lyman played with Martin Denny and of course, is one of the Exotica greats of our time. So along with those cats, we've got, from Miami, we've got Goldust Lounge, and we've got Slippin' the Spin Out, and we actually have some wonderful burlesque acts coming on board, you know, just to fill some time slots with. I'm sure people aren't going to complain about them.
Who's going to complain about burlesque? Come on. What about history? I know that the Hukila always has symposiums and guest speakers that speak about Exotica-related topics or the history of certain bar drinks. Who have you got coming and what will they be talking about?
Well, one person from history I don't want to forget to mention that's coming, maybe not for a symposium, but she is coming so everybody can meet her and have a great time with her, is we have a three-hour tour cruise with Dawn Wells from Gilligan's Island that will take place on Friday. We'll sail it through the Intercoastal. Everyone can kind of meet her, get an autograph from her. There's a costume contest that she's going to judge. If you win the costume contest, you win $100. So,
wow. And you can spend it on drinks.
That's right. But the cruise actually is open bar and full food buffet and so forth. But,
and Dawn Wells was which character on Gilligan's Island?
She was Mary Ann.
Mary Ann is going to be here.
Mary Ann's going to be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on a boat in the Intercoastal.
That's going to be great.
The movie star, the professor and Mary Ann, here on Gilligan's Island.
That's right.
That's going to be great.
But the other symposiums we've got that we're really proud about is not only does the Maikai still exist, and we should celebrate that every day, but one of the other tiki palaces of our time was the Kahiki, which was in Columbus, Ohio, that is no longer with us. That symposium is going to happen on Sunday, and it's led by Jeff Chenault, who is also an Exotica historian. He's spoken at the Hukila before. It's called the Kahiki Crown Jewel of Polynesian Supper Clubs. It was probably twice the size as the Maikai, and several years ago, it was raised to put up a Walgreens.
Ugh.
So every time we all walk in that Walgreens, let's think of Tiki.
You have a Chinese-American filmmaker coming in. What's he going to be speaking about?
That is Arthur Dong. He's actually an Oscar winner as well. He is going to be talking about a fabulous from the 50s, kind of San Francisco nightlife. They called it Baghdad by the Bay. And it was all these Chinese nightclubs that would perform and had all this culture that no one really speaks about, no one really thinks about. All these beautiful women and talented musicians and dancers would come and live here, and that this would be their life. And one of the most famous of the clubs was called Forbidden City. And the story is all about Forbidden City and then all the people that kind of made it up. The musicians, the entertainers, the dancers, and people that made it successful. And you'll find, you know, several different stories. His presentation is not going to only talk about from the past, but he'll also include several stories from the present.
Cool. So he's going to be talking about kind of the history of Chinese-American nightlife in San Francisco.
Yeah, and it was around 1936 to 1970. That was pretty much the period of a heyday of that.
That's interesting. And I see you have somebody talking about Disney World's original Polynesian Village Resort. Let's talk about the Maikai, because the main event is always a Saturday night at the Maikai. Give us a little overview of that.
Well, of course, everybody, they do save up their pennies all year long. And, of course, the star of the weekend is the Maikai that was built in 1956, but is still such an incredible example of that world that existed, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And the state of the Maikai is still as it was back in the 50s. They've had some, you know, renovations, but as you walk in, you are just immediately transported into a world where hula skirts sway, where rum flows like lava. you know, they even have this feature now when you walk out into the gardens, because the Maikai is, you know, enormous, and you walk out into the gardens, and now you hear, it's a feature that they've added, sort of Disney-esque. You can hear birds calling. You can hear the drums beating. You can hear the monkeys calling and wild birds. And it's just added to the atmosphere of when you walk into a place like that, and really any tiki bar, it should really take you away.
Yeah, it's a total experience.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel the pressures of the outside world. That's why they went there years ago, is because they could go to the corner tiki bar. They could be somebody else. They could be somewhere else. And they could sit there and have an experience. And yeah, when it was time to go, it was time to go. For those few moments, it's magic.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally. I think anybody from South Florida that has not been to the Maikai owes it to themselves to go. With the Huki Lao, the people watching is fabulous. The rooms are packed full of interesting characters, and it's such a great, fun time. Tiki Kaliki, thank you so much for bringing this fun-filled event back to South Florida every year.
Absolutely. Everyone should come enjoy. It's for everybody.
So go into your closet, dig out that Hawaiian shirt, or maybe your muumuu if you got one, and get on over to Fort Lauderdale Beach for one of the best parties of the year, the Huki Lao. Aloha, everybody. This is Chris DeAngelis for South Florida Arts Beat.
Chris DeAngelis is a songwriter and musician who has performed throughout the state over the past 20 years in many musical genres. You can email him at molemachine1@yahoo.com. The 14th annual Huki Lao will run from Wednesday, June 10th through Sunday, June 14th at the Hyatt Regency Pier 66 Hotel on Fort Lauderdale Beach. The main event Saturday will be held at the Maikai Restaurant and Showroom in Fort Lauderdale. Passes can also be purchased during the event or online. For more info, go to thehukilao.com. Reservations for Saturday's event at the Maikai can be made by calling the Maikai directly at 954-563-3272 or by visiting their website at maikai.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken plates up A Word on Food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. South Florida welcomes back a native son when Duffy Jackson, the jazz drumming legend, returns to teach a jazz camp and perform for two nights at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach, June 20th and 21st. Son of the renowned jazz bassist Chubby Jackson of the Woody Herman Orchestra, Duffy grew up tutored by legendary jazz drummers Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa, and Louis Belson. After graduating from Miami Beach Senior High School, he was off to start a tremendous musical career that included performing with Lena Horne, Sammy Davis Jr., the Count Basie Orchestra, the Artie Shaw Orchestra, Lionel Hampton Orchestra, Duke Ellington's Big Band, Dizzy Gillespie, Ella Fitzgerald, and Stan Getz, among many other jazz illuminaries. A prolific composer, keyboardist, bassist, vibraphonist, and vocalist, as well as the swinginest drummer you'll ever hear, he always combines high-energy showmanship with his solid musicianship. I caught up with Duffy Jackson recently to find out what's new and to get a preview of his upcoming South Florida events. Duffy Jackson, it's such an honor to have you back on South Florida Arts Beat. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm feeling great, Ed. It's good to talk with you again. I'm up in Nashville, Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Which is, I'm learning to talk with an accent, but it's working out pretty good.
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. You know, I've been over your bio for years and years, and I still am amazed. By the age of 10, you were making national TV appearances on I've Got a Secret and the Mike Douglas Show. The day after high school graduation, you packed your bags for a three-week stint at Shelley's Manhole, the legendary jazz club in California. You were playing with two incredible musicians, Milt Jackson and Ray Brown, as well as a little bit later, Monty Alexander. And by your 18th birthday, you were touring the country with Lena Horne. That's enough right there, Duff.
You know, Monty was very kind. When I was a senior at Miami Beach High School in 70 and 71, you know, I went to a club called The Place for Steaks.
Oh, yeah.
79th Street Causeway. And Monty was playing with his trio opposite Phil Rudy, who was a great South Florida piano player and vocalist for years. And Eugene Wright was playing bass, who played with Dave Brubeck's quartet. And the drummer was Dave Newby, who was a local drummer in Hollywood, Florida, just a straight-ahead swinging
He's great.
Drummer. And Monty was up there cooking so hard. Now, you know how difficult it is for me to walk away from a steak dinner, but I got up from the table and walked in the lounge, and Monty was playing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, and he stretched out for like 45 minutes. And Phil Rudy was a little bit concerned. He didn't want to go on and follow that, of course. So I said, Phil, let me get up there and play. So Phil got up there, and both groups are supposed to be doing 45 on, 45 off. And all of a sudden, you know, Phil played an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
Because we were swinging so hard, and that's how I musically met Monty. And he made it possible for me to go out to the Shelley's Manhole and play for 3 weeks. You know, and Teddy Edwards was the tenor saxophonist on that gig, too.
Whoa.
That was a tremendously swinging gig for 3 weeks. You know, and please believe me, I've had a fantasy dream world with jazz because of my father. You know, now it's a fantasy to get a job. You know, I live in Music City in almost total musical obscurity because I don't really, I'm not known for playing country music, but the main thing is that I'm jamming with a bunch of great virtuoso musicians up here, and there's a fan base for jazz, and I'm also very close to Vince Gill and a group called the Time Jumpers.
Great musician.
You know, Vince is a wonderful vocalist, and he and his wife, Amy Grant, are like royalty in Nashville. And,
sure.
You know, they love my big band up here in Nashville.
Well, on that note, you're going to be leading the Duffy Jackson Big Band at the City Winery on June 7th in Nashville. And tell me a little bit about your jazz big band in Nashville.
You know what? I've just completed a CD with this swinging big band of great Nashville musicians. and it's all recorded and mastered and everything. And, you know, I'm just so proud that the musicians are swinging like they are, because this is an American art form that needs to be shared all around the world right now. People need a musical healing from the groove and from the great improvisation. You know, one thing about music up in Nashville, every song you hear has lyrics and vocals. And I'm a fan of a lot of these songs, but I also love a great instrumental solo when somebody can take you on a trip and really tell a story melodically through an instrument, you know. And
sure.
There's some wonderful players up here. And, you know, I'm treated with a lot of kindness by all the great young drummers on the scene. And please believe me, there's 1,000 drummers in Nashville.
Oh, I bet.
That are extraordinary, and they play all different styles. And, you know, I'm like a big brother to them, you know what I mean? You know, because they're all closet swingers, you know, they all want to play in a big band, right?
Well, Duffy, you have a lot to impart. I can't believe that you were tutored by Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa, and Louis Belson, among many other greats. You were in concert performing with Sammy Davis Jr. and some of the greatest big bands in the history of American music. Count Basie, Artie Shaw, Lionel Hampton, Illinois Jacquette. So you have a lot to impart. And June 15th, you're coming down here to South Florida, and you'll be teaching, giving workshops, I presume, at the Palm Beach Jazz Camp. Tell me more about that.
Yes, this is a band camp that's been happening for over 12 years now, and I've made it at least 10 years. And Dave Gibble and Nick Pattis run the band camp for a week, and we have great educators teaching the kids. And, you know, Monday through Friday, we have an extraordinary week of jamming and learning about this music and playing some wonderful arrangements and everything. Then on Friday, we do a big concert where all the families can come out and videotape, and we take pictures with all the students and everything.
Wow.
And it's a really inspirational week of just seeing and hearing young musicians growing every second that they take a breath. They're learning something about this art form and about the history of it and how to express themselves with the musical language.
Wonderful of you, Duffy, to give it back. And that's June 15th through the 19th at the St. Aloysius High School. That's the Palm Beach Jazz Camp. And for more info, you can find Duffy on Facebook at Duffy Jackson. You can see his videos all over YouTube. Just search for Duffy Jackson. And you wrap up your time here in South Florida June 20th and June 21st at the magnificent Arts Garage in Delray Beach. Tell me about those dates.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it so much. On Saturday the 20th, we're going to play with Dolph Castellano on piano and Jamie Osley on the bass. We're
going
to do some chamber swing jazz for two nights. Saturday night we'll start at 8 o'clock, and Sunday night we're doing a special Father's Day performance at 7 o'clock, two sets each night. And I just want to come down and play pretty and tell some stories about all the great people that permitted me to accompany their artistry through the years. And I hope to say a few amusing things. And the main thing is that I miss all my friends and fans down in South Florida, and I'm going to bring you some of that Nashville groove when I come down there. And, you know, I might play I Can't Stop Loving You. You know, I think with Dolph Castellano on piano, we can actually take requests and play any song anybody wants to hear. You know,
you three guys could play any song anybody wants to hear.
Hey, for the right price, I mean. you know, no, but I'm looking forward to it so much. I'm very grateful to Aliana Ash for bringing me back to the Arts Garage. The people are very loving to me there, and I'm sure we'll have a ball.
Duffy Jackson always combines solid musicianship with high-energy showmanship, and they love you there. It's always standing room only, so get your tickets real quick. And once again, Duffy Jackson is all over Facebook. Do a little search for him at Duffy Jackson and his videos on YouTube. Marvelous videos. I love the ones with you and the Basie Band from, what is that, the 70s, I think?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I joined the Basie Band in 1979. I took Butch Miles's place. And I put the older videos on there because I'm actually twice the size I used to be, and you know, I can fit on the screen like I used to be. No, the main thing is that I'm saving all my main A number one clips to put in a Duffimentary that I'm working on called The Life and Times of Chubby and Duffy in a World of Transvestite Rock and Roll. it's an amazing expose of life and times of... No, I mean, my father and I, we were the only father and son bass and drum team in the whole history of the American swing jazz music, and I'm very proud of that. And, you know, I'm trying to carry on the tradition of the happy swinging American music. I mean, that's what I consider to be jazz music, you know. So if anybody is interested in swinging with Duffy and Dolph and Jamie at the Arts Garage on the 20th and 21st, we'd love to see you. And I think there's a possibility I might be teaching a little master class in the daytime on the Saturday the 20th at the Arts Garage, which still trying to put that together. My friend Neil Bakker teaches a wonderful group of students. And I want to jam with the kids because I learn more from them than they learn from me. Please believe me. It's an exchange of energy and love, and you plant the seeds of happiness. That's why I bill myself as the Johnny Appleseed of jazz.
Duffy Jackson, thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat. Safe trips to you, my friend, and
thank
we'll
you,
see
Ed.
You here in South Florida.
Take care and keep swinging.
For more information about Duffy Jackson's appearance at Arts Garage, go to artsgarage.org or call 561-450-6357. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is an Opa-locka food truck. Up on Opa-locka Boulevard, the cars might be going by too fast to smell the sweet smoke pouring out of King Jerk's food truck at the West Star gas station. I know for sure they were going too fast to hear the near musical whack, whack, whack of his sharp, heavy cleaver or read the entreating menu signs on the side of the truck, which filled me with a powerful hunger, smelling, hearing, and reading as I was gloriously doing. It is like many intersections in America out on the edge of things. A long, shuttered striptease club sat mutely nearby, despite the hand-painted signs offering outrageous dancing. The area was originally named by the Native Americans Opetishawakalaka, meaning a big island covered with many trees and swamps. Mikey, the small woman behind the screen window of the truck I was chatting menu possibilities with, yelled out, "The jerk pork ready?" I heard a man's muffle, but could not make out the words. "Not till 2 p.m., she translated. I looked back at her menu and asked, "What is fish tea?" She smiled and said, "Oh, we're from the islands, and that is what we call fish soup there. You all call it broth. It's only on Fridays, though." It was okay. I had driven up here for the jerked items. I just had to decide which of them we would have on this day. I asked my wife, Janet, which. She clapped her hands together, as those that have known her many years can testify during times like these, and said, "Both." So we got jerked chicken as well as some barbecued ribs. The ribs were not jerked, of course. But if there is barbecue to be had, Janet is having it above just about anything else. It's part of her everlasting charm. We waited for the man in the back half of the truck to fill the order. One of the other customers helpfully let me know I needed to hand the man the ticket the lady had written on. There was no other way for her to reach over the hot coal ovens and hand it to him. I saw that it was a compact kitchen, but did feature two kettle drum barbecue rigs, and both were full with cooking, sweet-smelling meat. He set the food on the styrofoam to-go trays and asked, barbecue sauce or jerk sauce? I said, jerk sauce on the chicken, please. He looked up and asked, you sure? I said, spicy? He said, yeah. I believed him and yet nodded in the affirmative. I asked him what kind of fish he uses to make his fish tea. He answered, heads. We took the bag of food and some iced tea and drove to a spot in the neighborhood on a side street that had a fine row of shade trees. No one seemed to be around, and then I realized we were parked next to a cemetery. I made the sign of the cross despite the fact that I'm not a Catholic. It just seemed respectful, and since we were about to eat, equally proper. Then I queued up the Allman Brothers' elegiac song, perfect for the setting, in memory of Elizabeth Reed, and reveled in the pleasure of barbecued ribs, jerk chicken, and an Opa-locka food truck, as well as Brother Duane's slide guitar. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Catalan Cuisine. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And we welcome back Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Andy, please tell me how fabulous it is in the Florida Keys.
It's just so fabulous.
I want to hear about it.
Yes, you do. Let's talk about the events coming up in the fabulous Florida Keys. First of all, through October 30th, Ed, A Sense of Place down in Key West is an exhibition of the late Richard Kimball. All of his artworks, woodcuts, sculptures, ink on paper, collages, oil pastels, all being staged at the historic Gatto Building, 1100 Simonton Street, and organized by the Florida Keys Council of the Arts. Now, tomorrow night, Saturday, in Key Largo at the Bayside Grill, guitarist Todd Sharpeville will be performing. He's from London, England. He's absolutely one of the top soulful blues guitarists in the world. He's open for artists all across the musical spectrum, from Bo Diddley to Joe Cocker to B.B. King. On Sunday, the South Florida Symphony presenting the Chamber Music Series. That'll be at the studios of Key West beginning at 7 o'clock in the evening. Now, Monday is World Oceans Day, and the Coral Restoration Foundation is hosting its first ever Plantapalooza. What are we talking about? We're talking about wanting to plant 1,000 staghorn corals on reefs in the upper Florida Keys. There's a couple spots available, by the way, so check that out. Key West Pride Fest begins on June 10th and continues through the 14th. All types of different events. By the way, the dedication of a brand new rainbow crosswalk in Key West at Duval and Petronia Street. That's set for Wednesday the 14th. And another highlight, the finals of the Key West Stoli Cocktail Challenge. That'll be next Saturday. Antonia's Dinner Concert, presenting the classical guitarist Matteo. That'll be June 11th, 18th, and 25th at 615 Duval Street. Got fish identification classes up in Key Largo. That's a June 11th, 18th, and July 2nd. I have opportunities to join Allison and Carlos Estape at the Reef Headquarters for interactive fish behavior and identification classes. Now, on June 13th, talking about fish, it's the Florida Keys Community College Swim Around Key West. You can either enter as a long-distance solo swimmer or relay teams of 2 to 6 people. June 18th to the 21st down in Key West, the Key West Africana Festival, an opportunity to explore music, art, and Key West Afro-Caribbean culture during a 3-day destination retreat that will be focusing on thought, culture, and wellness. On June 18th in Isla Morada, the Morada Way Arts and Cultural District presents its monthly Third Thursday Art Walk. That stage, between 6:30 and 9:30 p.m., it's free admission. And, of course, that art walk is held on the third Thursday of each month. In Key West, back we go. On June 20th, the 9th annual Midsummer's Night Dream and Spectacle, a new venue this year, the Fort East Martello Tower at 3501 South Roosevelt Boulevard, a night of artistic expression, music, feasting, dancing, singing, and even theatrical antics. And on that same night, up in Isla Morada, at the Beers, Blues, and Barbecue Festival from 5 to 9 p.m., they'll be at the Post Garden Beach Resort and Marina. Red Barn Theater, July 1st through the 21st, down in Key West, presenting the Key West summer stage. A number of different productions, including A Streetcar Named Desire, Life and Death, and the brand new Key West Radio Theater. Also in Key West, July 3rd to 5th, the Key Lime Festival, a wacky Miss Key Lime pageant, pie eating, cooking contest, anything about Key Lime, you'll find it at the event. And by the way, this July 4th Mile High Key Lime Pie Eating Contest, move over New York's Nathan Hot Dog Eating Contest. We've got the Key Lime Pie Eating Contest.
Yeah.
That same weekend at the Marathon, July 3rd to the 5th, the Marathon Super Bowl Offshore Grand Prix, high-speed offshore powerboat racing returns to Marathon in the Middle Keys. And we have a cavalcade of July 4th festivities to talk about. It begins up in Key Largo on July 4th, the 40th annual 4th of July parade that's being staged by the Key Largo Chamber of Commerce. That gets rolling at 10 o'clock in the morning. There's a fireworks show on Blackwater Sound that evening up in Key Largo in Alamorada. Two events, the Independence Day celebration. That'll be at Founders Park, mile marker 87 on Plantation Key. Party running from 6 to 9:30 p.m. Also in Alamorada, the Independence Day celebration at the Post Guard Inn Beach Resort and Marina. In Marathon, the Marathon Beach Party and Fireworks Show. That begins at 10:30 in the morning with a parade from Marathon High School on Sombrero Beach Road. A big free admission picnic at Sombrero Beach. Day-long celebration, all ending with fireworks. Big Pine and the Lower Keys celebrate 4th of July's fireworks at the Big Pine Community Park. And in Key West, the 31st annual Hospice of the Florida Keys and Visiting Nurse Association picnic at the Casa Marina Resort and Beach Club. And that's located at 1500 Reynolds Street. Celebration begins at 5 o'clock in the evening, and at 9 o'clock, fireworks courtesy of the Key West Rotary Club. And two more July events, Ed, real quick. First of all, the July 11th, 31st annual Underwater Music Festival at Lou Key Reef off the Lower Keys. And, of course, the July 21st through 26th Key West Hemingway Day celebration, the running of the bulls, the short story competition, the Key West Marlin Tournament, and, of course, the ever-popular Ernest Hemingway Papa Lookalike Contest at Sloppy Joe's Bar. Much more details on these and many other events in the fabulous Florida Keys on the Florida Keys website, flakeys.com.
Andy Newman is the man in the know with the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Thank you, Andy. Have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend as well, Ed.
And we'd like to let you know that the month of June is Caribbean American Heritage Month, and in celebration, the Galleon Foundation with the Lauderhill Regional Chamber of Commerce and the City of Lauderhill, present the Greater Fort Lauderdale Caribbean Village Music, Arts, Food, and Wellness Festival Sunday, June 14th from noon to 9 p.m. at Central Broward Regional Park, 3700 Northwest 11th Place in Lauderhill. That's the corner of 441 and Sunrise Boulevard. So much, a welcome parade, live Caribbean music, food, arts, crafts, celebrity cook-off, kids zone, health and wellness pavilion. That's Sunday, June 14th. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner, our technical director. We'd like to thank our contributors today as well, Chris DeAngelis, Norman Van Aken, and Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.